but only pick a couple of verses out of it. All right. And miraculously, our musicians picked the right song to close with, which is "The Lord is our strength," because that's actually the key verse that I wanted to preach on today, because the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this and obviously spoke to them. So when we were weak, that is when you're disturbed or stressed out or whatever, you need to know that you're not. That's a lie. You're never weak. You're always strong. So I want you to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right. And I'm going to read that in the Greek language because although it's the same, it's actually a little richer than what the English brings out. And so you can see exactly what it is. So let's turn to Philippians. We're going to start in chapter 1, then 2, then 3, then 4. So let's start in, let's see if I can find it, somewhere here in the Bible. Let's see. There it is. I knew it was in here. The Holy Spirit just put it in. All right. I want to start with verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident, being persuaded, being certain. Now, this is the foundation or the strength of your life. And Paul starts out by telling you something. Everything that God does happens. Everything that God wants to do is going to take place. There's no way to frustrate him. There's no way to gainsay his words. That would mean to say what you said isn't true. You can't gainsay him. You can't go against anything he said. Even if you want to, you can't. Even if five of you get together, you still can't. You can't overthrow anything God intended to do. In other words, God's God. And since he's God, then he's God. And then there's no other. Because he's the God. That means he's the only God and there cannot be another. Now, there can be lesser gods, which is anybody under him, but there can't be greater God because he's the greatest. And therefore, he always gets his way. Because the lesser gods are lesser than him. So therefore, even if Satan is the god of this world, he's actually God's servant. Now, that doesn't mean he does what he says. Sometimes servants are bad. They're naughty. I've done that once. So every once in a while, you and I can go astray. And Satan has been a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He's out to destroy you. But fortunately, he's not God. He's the God of this world. If you're just in this world, then you're subject to him. And he'll magnify your desire to sin, knowing that the law of sin and death will operate against you. So if you sin, you die. Even if it's a small sin. How many have sinned small sins, not big ones at all? Yeah. And I knew from that hand. That was true. So a small sin, the problem with a small sin is it's a huge sin because God only accepts perfect. So there is no such thing as a small sin. We would call it small, but it's not because it's not perfect. So you can't go to heaven. Now, there is already one person in heaven. Hallelujah. The guy that came from heaven down to earth, his name is Jesus. And Jesus came down for one purpose, and that's to show you what heaven is like and to show you how to get there. And I want to help you today to get there and stay getting there. And here's how it is. Being confident that he who began, not you, he who began a good work in you will surely, certainly, absolutely, totally, without question, completed. He who began. So whoever started the work in you, if it was Satan, then he would finish it. But Satan never finishes anything. As a matter of fact, he never starts anything. As a matter of fact, he's never done anything. Did you know that Satan is a complete liar? And lies aren't anything. In other words, they're not true. So therefore, whatever Satan has said is always a lie. If you can hear Satan, you're in good shape, because whatever he says will be a lie. If you can hear Satan, he might say, you're going to get it. That's a lie. That's a lie. Why is that a lie? Well, you just sinned. So you're going to get it. You're going to die. No, that's a lie. Because Jesus already got it. So how can I get it if he got it? If Jesus already took my sin, I can't take it. There's no way. Because he took it. And if I believe in him and I'm confident and I'm persuaded fully that God can't lie, he cannot lie, he who began a good work in you will surely, certainly, totally, absolutely, without question, finish it. Now, Satan never starts and he never finishes, but God always starts and he always finishes what he starts. In heaven, there's no time. So the minute he says, let there be light, there's light. The minute he says, you're mine, you're his. Now, in this world, it takes time to see that thing fulfilled out, so you have to have faith. Once there's no time, you won't have to have faith. But right in this world, you have to have faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world, because faith has something unseen. It's believing in something that hadn't been seen, because there's time and there's space down here. You're here, not there. But in heaven, there is no such thing as space. Everybody says, well, what kind of room am I going to get up in heaven? You have the wrong idea, the wrong notion. There's no such thing. And so that we even see that in the New Testament, where a guy was in Jerusalem and all of a sudden he was out in the wilderness just in a second. So he was transported. Now, most of you never experienced that. Has anyone experienced that? Well, you were here and then all of a sudden you were somewhere else. Okay. Well, so you see, that's not a common occurrence, apparently. But God is able to do anything that he says. Now, he's not going to do anything. He's going to do anything he says. And if he doesn't says it, you don't know about it. And there's no way you can make that happen. Now, he has told you everything you need to know in this book. Everything you need to know in this book. There's nothing hidden that you need to know for this world. Now, there are some things hidden that you don't know about. The hidden things belong to God. But you don't know about them because you don't need to know about them. And if he would tell you, it would mess you up. So it's just as well you don't know about it, because everything you need to know, he told you. He's a good parent. That's a good parent. Now, you remember the seven chairs? Remember all seven chairs? Okay. Those that don't remember them, I'm going to tell them to you. Let's see. Chair number one. What chair is this? Huh? This? Okay. This is the sinner chair. Licentious, sinful, wicked, you at your worst. Okay, how many have sat in that chair? Everybody starts in that chair. You're born in sin. No. You're conceived in sin. Did you know that? David wrote that in one of his Psalms. I was conceived in sin. 9 months before I was birthed, came into the world, I was conceived in sin. But Jesus wasn't conceived in sin. But he's the only one. Because he didn't have an earthly father. He didn't have the earthly life in him. But the Father himself, through the Holy Ghost, overshadowed Mary. And so he was not conceived in sin. He had a heavenly father, a holy father, so he would be called the Son of God. So that's the only difference. Other than that, he took on human flesh. He took the form of flesh and became a man. But he didn't stop being the Son of God. He just put aside all of his omnipotence and his omnipresence and his omna. He just put all that omna stuff aside, where he's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, all-good, all-everything. Just put that aside. Now he's totally dependent, like we are, when he came on the earth, to show you something, that you can, as an earth person, submit to God. He gave you a little example. He said, I never, never displeased the Father. How many of you could say you've never displeased the Father? Okay, well, I guess I'm the only one. So, if you're a pastor, of course, you always please the Father. So, pleasing the Father is something that we can't do. We actually were conceived in sin, then we're born in sin, then we do the sin, and that's like that. But Jesus comes along, who never sinned, and said, not only don't I sin, I'm not going to lie either. I'm going to take you to heaven. And if you believe it, so be it. If you believe that he died for all your sins, so they're gone. In the eyes of God, when God looks at us, he doesn't see us, he sees the blood of Jesus. When God sees us with all of our sins and our thoughts and our emotions and everything, he doesn't see any of that. He just sees Jesus. So when he looks down on you, you're a new creation. I'm a new creation. So how many know that you're a new creation? Now, you don't have to look like one, feel like one, act like one, talk like one. You just are. Because he says you are. Because it isn't you. Don't look at you to figure out who you are. Look at him, because who you are is Jesus. Because Jesus said, I am now dying for you. I did everything for you. I spoke for you. I acted for you. I walked for you. I talked for you. I did everything perfectly so that you could be accounted perfect in the eyes of God. So you're totally pleasing to the Father. So now I could say, and I will say, I'm a new creation. I'll also say what he said. The old has passed away. And then I'll say it even more clearly. The new has already come. That's perfect. It's not becoming. It's not I shall become someday. I already am. Just as I am. God is am. Jesus said, I am. I'm the door. I'm the truth, the way, the life, all this stuff. Now, Jesus am, because that's what God am. God's name is I am. Your name is I'm not. That's your name. Your name is I'm not, because you are not unless you're perfect, because am is perfect. So you're really existing, but you are not, you don't have life in yourself. And the only way you can be am is that one guy that got to heaven. If you're in him who am, then you am. And that's your only am. It's a borrowed am. You don't have any am of your own. You don't have any divinity of your own. But you partake of, because he wanted to. He wanted to marry you. He wanted to adopt you. He wanted to birth you into his family. Now, we never heard of that on earth. That would be a hidden thing that nobody could have ever figured out. That God actually wanted to give you the kingdom. But he just wanted to give it to you. So this would be chair 7. So his whole desire is constantly to bring everybody from sinner all the way to sitting in heaven as the queen of heaven. That is, Jesus is the king, and you're going to sit next to him on his right hand. And therefore, you're going to do everything to please him. And we know that Jesus does everything to please the Father. So the Father is right there, and Jesus is on his right hand, and we're on his right hand. So that's where you're going. Everybody here, you're a new creation. If you're a new creation, this is where you sit, in heaven forever and ever and ever. But how many know there's no time in heaven? Therefore, I am already seated with Christ in heavenly places. I'm not going to be seated. I'm already there if I believe. Now, there as a sinner, of course, I don't. But I could be, instead of a sinner, I could be a liar. Now, here I am a sinner. Here I am a sinner, but I'm lying. And so this is called religion. This is called hypocrisy. This is called I pretend to be better than I am. But this is who I am. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But religion is nothing if it's not from the heart. And only God can judge your heart, so you can't even judge your heart. You can't even judge your heart. You don't even know if you're a hypocrite or not. But God knows. And Jesus knew. And he said to the Pharisees, "You're hypocrites." I bet there was one sincere Pharisee, don't you think? He said not. So, I'm wrong. So, you can't get to heaven from chair one or from chair two. Me at my best, chair two. Me at my worst, chair one. So, whether I'm a sinner openly, where everybody can see it, know about it, or whether I'm a sinner secretly, and I'm going to church, and I'm being moral, and I'm being nice, and I'm kind, and I'm sweet, and people like me, and I'm popular, you're a phony, and a fake, and a liar. In other words, you ate the apple, then you sewed on the fig leaves. So religion is just you pretending like you're better than that guy right there. Remember the guy in the temple? He stood over this other guy, and he looked down on him, because he was religious. He said, "Thank God I'm not like this guy." So this person here is proud of the fact that he's not wicked, which makes him wicked. So he deceived himself, thinking he was better than somebody else when he's exactly the same. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, even if you were a little bit better, you aren't perfect. But you're not even a little bit better. In fact, you're worse. Because God said, "I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm." In other words, you didn't put all your heart into it. Because the natural man only has an evil heart. Everything a natural man does, even all his religion, is evil. Because his heart is evil. And even though he behaved like he wasn't evil, he actually was. And so everything he did was fake, a lie, phony, hypocrite, legalistic. His heart was never in it. Out of the heart, Jesus said, proceeds evil. Adultery, murder, all kinds of horrible, nasty, terrible things, nothing good. Out of the heart. That's out of every man's heart. Everybody who's born into the world is chair one. There is no chair two. Chair two is just a simple theme on the same deal. In other words, I'm really not advanced from that guy. I'm just hiding more. I just have fig leaves on, which God can see through fig leaves. I don't know if you know that, but God has eyes that see right through fig leaves. He can see right to see that your heart was not in that. In fact, you expected a reward or a wage paid for being better than somebody else. In fact, you were proud of yourself. Thank God I didn't do that. Like that other guy. Like that other lady. And you, has anybody here ever been proud that you weren't wicked like somebody else? I mean, you just looked at him and you thought, "My God, what is wrong with that person? Wow, don't they see how stupid that is? Thank God I'm not stupid." Has anybody ever felt like you weren't stupid? You felt, "Well, thank God I'm a little more intelligent than she is. Look at her. Look at the way she dresses. Listen to her speech. I'd be ashamed to even come out in public." Have you ever thought that? I mean, you didn't say it. You just thought it. Now, Jesus sees these two as the same. He didn't see any difference. And they killed him. Because of this, that Jesus wouldn't say this chair was any different than that chair, they killed him. That's why they killed him. That's the only reason they killed him. They said, "Well, he said that a religious person is not better than an unreligious person, a witchcraft person, a Satanist. Are you saying we're like Satan?" And Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You are of your father the devil." Whoa, I mean, that's kind of scary. How many know that at one time you were like your father the devil? Isn't that exciting? I can just see the thrill on most of your faces. You know, you are satanic. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So you're no different, no better than this person that you just got done judging. You're exactly the same, only worse. Only worse. Because now you have to repent twice. First of all, you have to repent that you said you weren't a sinner when you were. And second of all, then, you have to repent and say, "Jesus, forgive me for all my sins." Because I'll never get to chair seven without that. Now, this repentance is right here. So near here, I'm not just repenting of the sins I've done, but of the self I am. I'm not just repenting of the fruit of the tree. I'm cutting the tree down to the root. Remember John the Baptist said, "Repent, For the kingdom of God is at hand. It's coming over here. But even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Not talking about the fruit of the tree. He's talking about the root of the tree. He's going to dig it out by the roots, not just chop it off at the trunk. Go all the way down, dig out those roots. Did you know that that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to do that? Not just Jesus forgave me all my sins, but the Holy Spirit's coming to actually root out even sin itself from you. Not just to forgive you for sinning, but to actually remove the sin so that it no longer runs your life. Has anybody experienced that? Now, the next chair is what we usually think of as really important, because this is who I am. I'm a believer. I believe Jesus Christ died for all my sins. Woohoo! Praise God. I'm so excited because Jesus came and covered all my sins. Now I can sin and still go to heaven. Y'all see that that's kind of a wrong understanding? Now, because he's forgiven all my sins that I did, all those sins that I did, and now I think he's going to get rid of myself too. I don't know how that works, but I hope he does that too. Well, you know what? You're not allowed to keep sinning. It's not acceptable. You're not going to heaven with sins. Okay, well, get rid of all those sins. Forgive those sins. Put some blood on that, Jesus. Thank you. All right, so Jesus now forgives you, covered all your sins, so you can keep sinning. How many know that that's what most pastors are teaching without knowing it? Most pastors are only teaching only believe. If you just believe. But what about suffering? This chair right here. This is my favorite chair. This is my favorite chair. Because you get to suffer, and I like to see you suffer. Because you have so much sin in you, you need to get rid of it. So this chair right here is you believing in Jesus, but he died for you. Now you get to die for him. See, this chair is a favorite. You get to die so there's no more sin in you. Woohoo! For me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. That's in Philippians. That's in Philippians. Last chair, this is you when you're dead to all sin and everything is going your way because you're walking in love. You're just like Jesus on earth. You're actually led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And all your deeds then are wrought in God by the Holy Spirit. So now you qualify to go to heaven. So you have to get from 7 to 6 to 5 to 4 to 3 to 2 to 1. And this is the one he loves, number one. So you actually need to know that every day, I'm going to tell you something, most of you are sinning on a daily basis. Some of you hourly. So that I just want to tell you, that's okay. That's okay. Because Jesus covers you with the blood right here. You believe in Jesus. So he's covering you with the blood. But you know what? The purpose of faith is not to just be dead, but it's to work in love. So it's not he who begins new creation, but it's he who endures through all the suffering and rejoicing the whole time. Yahoo! 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 But also becoming a lover. So that you're actually filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit, and what comes out of you is from the Spirit. Now, you don't go to heaven because of chair 6. Nor do you go to heaven because of chair 5. You go to heaven because you believed in Jesus, but that believing leads you to chair 5 so you can kill off the old man, which was chair 2. And you then, so here he forgave all your sins, chair 1. Here he killed off yourself, chair 2, so that now you can be led of the Spirit. And you're just simply moving by the Spirit. Same thing Jesus did. Somebody said to him, good teacher, and he said, no, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. And the things that I do, I don't do them. I don't do the things that I do. But the Father who dwells in me doeth the works. Therefore, the things that we do, we don't do. Because the Holy Spirit's in me to will and to do. So, here I'm believing, here I'm willing, and here I'm doing. This chair number 6 is my doing, but that's only because I'm willing to be killed. So that I don't do anything. So when I do this, I know I didn't do it, so I give God the glory. So I can't be proud of myself that I'm no longer a sinner. Not at all, because it wasn't me. I would still be a sinner. The only thing was, he covered my sin with the blood, forgave me, but now he's actually cutting out the root of that tree. This is why every day you confess your sin. Some people say, well, when you're born again, you don't have any more sin. Not in your heart, but you still do in your soul, and you still do in your life. And other people see it. They don't see the light shining on a hill. They don't see the salt that salts every man in the world. After all, the light and the salt are not for you. The fruit of your tree is not for you to eat. Did you ever see a tree eat up its own fruit? Did you ever see that? It doesn't eat its own fruit. Its fruit is for somebody else. Your light is not for you to get into heaven. You're going into heaven because of the blood of Jesus, because he's your righteousness. But his salvation isn't just chair 4, it's also 5 and 6, so that you're prepared and ready to go to heaven without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. No spot, no wrinkle, or any such thing. Don't pay attention to that distracting person over there. Keep looking. Now, I want to read out of Philippians, because Philippians tells the story that I just told of how you get all the way to heaven. And you say, well, Pastor, you taught this before. I know, but you forgot. It doesn't hurt you to hear again and again and again this story, because no pastors are teaching this. Very few pastors are teaching justification followed by sanctification followed by glorification. And when men see your good works, they will give glory to you. When men see your good works, they will give glory to the Father. Because this whole idea of creating you naturally where you would sin. He didn't create you to sin. He just knew you would sin. He told you not to sin. But you went and ate of that tree. You ate the forbidden fruit. And every child born into the world soon experiences what I just said. As soon as they're old enough to think or talk or walk, they start sinning. But actually, they were conceived in sin. And when they come out, they don't ever say, Mom, I'm here to help. They never say that. No baby has ever come out, Mom, what can I do for you? This has never happened. It never happened. Instead, that every child ever born into the world, they want the whole world to come to them. You know, and they are crying out selfishly, not thinking of anyone else. Mom, wake up again. It's been 2 hours. Get up again. Don't get Dad up. Don't get Dad up. Pick, pick the baby. But, you know, women, praise God, I don't know how they have this gift of lighter sleeping than men. She said, didn't you hear the baby all night? No. The baby was crying. I didn't hear it. I didn't even hear you get up and get out of bed. I didn't hear it. I didn't, you know, I don't know. Even when you hit me, I didn't feel it. Oh, God is good. Now, you see, everything about God is wonderful because of this story. If you don't have the whole story, it's not. If you're just a natural person, you know, you're just a natural person doing your own selfish thing, there's no joy in that. There's no happiness in that. There's pleasure, but it doesn't last very long. And then you have to have twice the amount the next day. Because pleasure just doesn't last. You get the car, you get the house, you get the new, you know, whatever. But it doesn't make you happy anymore because you'll be miserable in a few minutes. So then you get, you know, 2 husbands. And that doesn't improve. That doesn't help a thing. Then you get, you know, this and that and so on and so forth. You try to go on vacation, get distracted, watch TV a lot, just eat a lot. You know, but that doesn't help. Nothing helps. And God wants it that way so that you wake up and realize, huh, maybe sinning doesn't work. So I'll try religion. Aha, that is really bad. Now you, because in religion, you're not even allowed to have pleasure. I mean, this one is, oh my gosh. You have to be thinking of God all the time. It'd be better to go back here. You at least get momentary pleasure. You go to hell, but you get momentary pleasure. But here, you get hell both ways. This one's bad. This religion thing, you're not allowed to be happy because happy is sin. If you're smiling, you must have sinned. Did you know that? So, you can't kill yourself. You're not able to kill the old man. You're not able to chop your own tree off at the root. You can't stop sinning. Let's say you stop sinning, you'd be proud. So you see, you still have pride to deal with. You can't humble yourself. Now, so the only way out is to repent of all that. Say, God, I repent, first of all, for all the sins I've done and all the sins I'm about to do and all the sins I'm still doing. I repent of all that. But second of all, I repent every day of still being in charge. I try every day to get up again and take matters in my own hand. I worry every day. I'm afraid every day. Every day you've got to fight pride. Every day you've got to fight pride. Every day you've got to fight anger. Something's going to frustrate you, make you angry. Because you had a picture of the way it ought to be, and it wasn't. And that makes you mad. Every day lust comes up. You're lusting after the flesh, the food, the something. You're desiring things in this world. Oh, I'm a Christian, but I wish I had that. You're not content with just Jesus. Every day, pride, anger, lust, self-pity. Every day. Never happens to me. I wished I had that. Every day, fear. Every day, you're afraid. Every day, you're afraid of living. You're afraid of dying. You're afraid of being healthy. You're afraid of being everything. You're afraid of everything. You're afraid of people. You're afraid of God. You're afraid. Every day, envy. You wish you had something someone else has, and you want it. You don't just want it. You're even thinking about how I could get it. I wish they would die so I could get that. My kids do that all the time. Dad, that bowl's going to be mine when you're dead. I can tell they're wanting me to be dead so they can have that bowl today. Just a bowl. But over that little bowl, they're already fighting over that. Dad gave it to me. No. I asked him first. They're all wanting us dead. Peggy and me, dead. I love it. Now, faith is active in love. Faith is working in love. You see that? Now, let's look at this verse. Being confident that the good work that he began to do in you, he will surely ask you to help him complete it. He will surely do it. He doesn't ever ask you to help him. This is all you can do. And he doesn't even want you to do this, but you probably will. But you need to repent, but you can't even do that. That's a gift too. You can't even have faith. That's a gift too. You can't sanctify yourself. That's a gift too. You can't purify and perfect and mature yourself, every man mature in Christ. Did you know that everybody in this church has to be mature? That's my job. I can't just get the back row or the front row.
Yeah, you made a front row.
I did. I made you into the front row. Well, I can't. He says, every man mature in Christ. Wow. That means there must be immature in Christ. There must be little children, young men, and mature fathers. There must be an outer court. There must be a holy place. And there must be a holy of holies. So every man mature in Christ. Wow. That's a big goal. I don't know. Working with the kind of materials we have here, I don't know if we can get there. How far have I gotten? Oh, Danuta, at least it got you mature, right? Yeah. Yeah, praise God. Thank God. Let's see. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how far I'm going to get. I could get disciplined severely. That's the goal. Now, you know what? It's real easy to do. You know, it's easy to do. All I have to do is what he told me to do. How do we get every man mature in Christ? Well, first of all, you just tell them the truth. You just tell them the truth that apart from me, you can do nothing, but in me, you can do all things. So now, here's Christ for you, here's Christ in you, here's Christ through you. Well, that's good to know that there's kind of a process here, and you don't do it. The good work. I'm certain of this. One thing I'm persuaded, that he who began the good work will finish it. I'm persuaded that you will not fail and go to hell. You are not going to fall away. You are not going to apostatize. You're going to make it if all you have to do is have faith. But wait a minute. How do you have faith? It cometh by hearing. So I'm telling to you. I'm just telling you, Jesus wants to just give it to you. Doesn't want you to earn it. doesn't want you to stop sinning. He doesn't tell you to stop sinning because that doesn't do any good. He doesn't tell you to stop being legalistic and religious because that doesn't do any good. He just tells you to repent of all that. You know, just change your mind on that. He isn't saying change your mind like don't want to sin anymore. What he's saying is change your mind. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, be comforted. Not be miserable about your sins. Now, I'm not going to pick on the Catholic Church, but the Catholics teach you have to be miserable. You have to be remorseful. And a lot of Protestants think so too. No, that doesn't help a thing. So let's say I commit adultery and then I feel bad. That doesn't help anything. Well, the other guy didn't feel bad. I did it, but I felt bad. That doesn't change a thing. You still did it. Yeah, but I felt bad. I added a little bit of good to it. The other guy didn't. So I'm way ahead. No, you're not. So feeling bad, I stopped right after that. That didn't help either. You still did it. If you sin in one part, you have sinned completely against the law. Because remember, the law is be perfect. Be ye holy as I'm holy. So God measures everything by himself. Well, that's a little rough. Then I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I, as a sinner, if I'm going to be able to please God. You're not. I don't know if as a religious person, if I can please God with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. I don't think I can do it. You can't. So you just repent of that. Just don't think that anymore. Now, here's what you do think. Think on things that are excellent, that are pure, that are holy, that are right, that are true, that are just. Ah. Don't ever think about feeling guilty or changing or anything. Just think on Jesus, who is your righteousness. He died for you. You're forgiven. You're acceptable. You've been atoned for. And let him who began that work continue it. If you continue my word, you'll be my disciple. So this is a believer, this is a disciple, and this is a lover. Now let him who began do the completion. All you have to do is relax. All you have to do is do nothing, because you already repented of doing something. So apart from me, you can do nothing, but in me, you can do all things. So here's for me, here's in me, here's through me. Here's what he does for me, dies on the cross. Here's what he does in me, he kills me off. Here's what he does through me. Now that I'm dead, he can do anything he wants. Jim, come here. And because I reckon myself dead unto sin, alive unto God in Christ Jesus, I just do what I am. Because as it says, you're a new creation. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm a new creation. Then there's no Jim to refute it. So you see, when I have faith, I don't have any doubt. I'm not talking about psychological doubt. I'm not talking about psychological doubt. I'm talking about spiritual doubt. If he tells me something, I believe it. Because I reckon. I've thought this out. I've heard the word, and I believe he's saying, Jim, you can't do anything. Oh, yeah, that's right. Cool. Well, if I can't do anything, what hope do I have? Jesus. He is your righteousness. He's your joy. He's your peace. He's your love. He's your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. He's everything. He's everything. He's you. You. He's that. When God looks at him, he looks at you. He got into heaven, and you're in him. He said, who's this inside of you? That's Jim. He said, you got me inside of him. And then God looks at me. See, Jesus inside of me. Jim, who's that? That's Jesus. That's my new life. Jesus. He and I, we're married. I'm part of his new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And God loves that. He said, Jim, I like the way you talk. Well, I just heard it. I just copied what you said. You said I was a new creation, so I believe I'm not becoming one. I believe I already am. Do you know you am right now? You're perfect in the sight of God. Now, you don't look like it. But you don't have to look like it. Because this thing is by faith. And that's how he begins. And then he works that out. If you keep your eyes on him, beholding him, we are changed. The more you behold him who forgave you, the more you behold him, the more you are changed from one degree of glory to another until you're perfected. Every man mature in Christ. So I don't just intend by an act of will, but I will because God in me will. He gave me a job and he has to do the job. Just like I don't do the job for you, he's going to do it for me. I don't have to do it. He's going to do it. And so I believe you'll all be perfect. Everyone, you already are. And I'm just going to remind you of that. I don't want you to look in the mirror and forget who you are. I don't want you to put the hand to the plow and then turn back. I want you to stay on course. Start rejoicing all the time. Always thank him. Always praise him. Here's thanks. This is thanks right here. Chair 4. Thanks. Thanks be unto God. Why? For all that he's done. For me. Here I'm praising him. I praise you, Lord, because you're faithful. You don't lie. You're wonderful. You're good. You're gracious. You're kind. So I thanked him for what he did. I praised him for who he is. And I love him because he's my beloved. And he calls me his. And I'm going to heaven with him because I'm already there. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places now. I may look like I'm here, but I'm not. I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. I'm spiritual. I'm heavenly. And in heaven, there's no time and space. So I'm already there. I look like I'm here, but I'm already there. So I know I'm going to make it, to this goal, this destiny. This is what God intended for me, and I believe it. I believe it. No one's making me believe it. I just do. I heard it, and I believed it. Now, I want you to believe it, and it doesn't hurt for me to go over this a few times. Now, I'm not going to comment on this. 129, let's look at that. For unto you it is given, this is so good. For unto you it is given. Say, something is given to me. Okay, here's what it is. Unto you it's given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, chair 4, but to suffer for him. Isn't that exciting? It's granted to you. It's given to you. Yahoo! Do you see that suffering doesn't scare you when you know it's only going to burn up your flesh, but it's not going to destroy your spirit? It'll purify your spirit. So fire destroys flesh, but leaves the spirit purified. As soon as you get rid of the flesh, the spirit's purified. So the fire never burns spirit. It only burns flesh. So all the troubles you've been through, wow, they were great. What a blessing. Aren't you excited? You regret nothing. I mean, it took all of that to burn off your flesh, so all that was left in you was joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you see that? So every trouble that's ever come to you, and there's some more coming, thank God, because it's been granted to you not only to believe on him, but to suffer on his behalf because of the name of Jesus. Anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. If you live a godly life, people are going to hate you. They're going to leave you. They're going to accuse you of all kinds of things. It's not true, but it doesn't matter. And when that happens, you should say, good. At least they noticed I wasn't, you know, what they wanted me to be. I was what God chose me to be. And that's wonderful. When people actually see you're a Christian, they hate you. Like they hated Jesus. If they've persecuted the master, they will also persecute the disciple, the follower. And sure enough, is there anybody here that could testify that that's true? The closer I get to God, the more people seem to not like me. I thought if I get closer to God, everybody would love me. Oh no, it's the opposite. When Jesus came down and told them the truth, they didn't want to hear it. And they killed him. Because he said, I forgive all sins. And he said, you know, your religion's worth nothing. Oh, man, there was two ruined things right there. Then he said, I want you to repent of all that. And I want you to just to believe on me, and I'll do it all. Then I want you to continue in my word and be my disciple. You know the truth. Truth will set you free. And then, now that you're free from all sin and all shame and all self and all of that stuff, everything of the world, now that you're free, you can just serve me. And you won't be selfish anymore. You can love your husband, love your wife. You know, you can, you know, do whatever God says. Do y'all see that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right, now let's do another one. Here's one. 2:13. 2:13. For it is God which works in you. For it is God which works in you. For it is God which works in you. Remember I said the first one was for you? Second one is in you. The third one is through you. For it is God that works in you, both to will, chair 5, while you're going through the fire, that's his will. He wants you to go through suffering, troubles, problems, difficulties, trials, temptations. Count it all joy when you face various trials. Yahoo! Got another trial. Wow. People hate me. Yahoo! Alice, you won't believe it. I got new troubles. I thought I had troubles before. I got some new ones. Yahoo! Count it all joy when you face various troubles and trials and tribulations and tests. Why? It's just going to prove that you're a Christian. just going to prove you're a Christian. Oh, of course, you'll see your old flesh trying to rise up. But that's going to die by the time you're done with that test and that trial. All that foolishness will be gone. And you'll look afterward and you'll say, you know what? I needed that. Because that helped me to mature, to grow up, and to face reality and not to live in silliness. That helped me. I thought he loved me. I now realize he didn't. I thought this and I thought that. And I said this and I said that. Now I realize all that's nonsense. I'm just going to go by what Jesus said. I'm just going to go by Jesus. He's better. It's better. It's purer. When you face your worst fears, they're nothing. When you face your worst, gee, I hope I don't get cancer. I hope we never go broke. I hope I don't go insane. You already are. So there's no future to that. Now, whatever you're facing, don't worry about it. Jesus is guaranteeing the deal. Jesus already looked at all that and said, it's okay. I can work through that. Yeah, that's okay. But Satan just did. Good. I told him to do that. Now, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. So you see, Satan cannot do anything to you. You're not of the world, so you don't belong to him. You're of Jesus. Therefore, he has to get permission from Jesus. Jesus, can I touch so-and-so? I got a good one. I think she'll turn away from you if I do it. Jesus said, yeah, go ahead. She's ready. She'll turn to me. She's going to curse you to your face. I know her. I know her past. But she's a new creation now. She says, you won't do that. She's like Job. Just like Job. You see that? Did God put Job through the fire when he was a young boy? No. He put him through the fire when he was ready. He said, now you're ready. See, you're the richest man in the world, and you got nice kids, and you got a beautiful wife, loves you, is always submitted to you, and so on and so forth. Well, all of a sudden, he started losing everything. And he even cursed, not people, but he cursed the day he was born. God, I wish I wasn't even born. Boy, this is stinking life. You know, having all that stuff and losing, it's painful. I wish I'd never had anything. And I wouldn't have fallen so far. It's like a little baby, you know, when they fall down, they're just poof, right down their bottom. It's not so far because they're short to the ground. But when an adult falls down, that's a big deal. So Job, poor Job, he had so much. And it was quite a fall because people said stuff like this. He used to be a rich so-and-so. Look at you now. You must have sinned big. And so people just poured on you. Thought you were a Christian. Oh, you were the braggart. You're the one in the family that always bring the Bible. Show what kind of Christian you are. And people love that when you're a great Christian and then you fall. And people would love to see America fall. Oh, they would love to see America fall. There are whole nations out there that just hate and despise America because they're jealous. They hate America because we're happy here. And we go, yee-haw! And they don't do that. Nobody does that in China. They don't do that in Saudi Arabia. There you're not allowed. Sharia law or something or other will get you. But here, we're free. And we even do stupid things when we're free. I mean, we do. We do stupid things. We do things that don't count. I mean, we could be appreciative, but we aren't always. Amen? Now, listen to this. Where am I? 2:13. For it's God that works in you both to will and to do. 5 and 6. Will and do. You don't even want to do the will of God. You don't need to. He'll do it. You don't have to even want to. The new you wants to. Christ in you wants to. He's in you to will. He's in you to do. You don't have to do it and you don't have to want to do it. He'll do that too. Isn't that neat? Wow. I didn't have to believe. I didn't have to repent. I didn't have to do anything. He did it all. Because Jesus said to me, just told me, he just said, Jim, I'm not telling you to stop sinning. What I'm telling you is, believe on me. Amen. I'm just saying, behold me. Just put your eyes on me. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I came to bless you. I didn't come to curse you. I didn't come to put you down. I didn't come to make you sin and death and all that. I came the opposite. I came to show you the heart of the Father, that it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Woo! That's pretty exciting. So he wants me, and I'm taking this, by the way. I don't know about the rest of you. I'm taking it. This is my chair, and I'm going to sit in this chair. I'm totally it. This is where I belong, ruling, reigning. But of course, I have to listen to what Jesus says. Jesus, but what should I say? Tell them they're going to die. You're going to die. No, Jim, don't say it like that. Say, you're going to die. But there could be hope in Jesus if you repent. Oh, I have to say it like that? Yes. Oh, speak the truth in love. You're going to die, but I'm going to help you not, because I'll teach you about Jesus. You know, that's different. So I do everything Jesus says. Jesus does everything the Father says. As the Father to the Son, so the Son to every man, so every man to his wife, and so on and so on. So there it is. Now, he's in you to will and to do. Next one. 3. Let's see what we got here. 3:13. We did 2:13. Now let's do 3:13. Then we'll do 4:13 and I'll be done. So, 2 more. All right. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things that lie behind, I press forward to the high holy mark. Ha! I want to forget everything lies behind. Forget my past. I just want to look at the future, present. I just want to press forward. Hey, let's just keep going. Forget about what you did yesterday. Forget about the day before, good or bad. Forget it. If it was good, Jesus did it. If it was bad, you did it. So forget that. Forget that. We don't care what you did yesterday. Today's a new day. This is the day. Hey, this is the day that the Lord hath made. So today is the day of salvation for you, for others. So everything, just forget the past. Forget the good stuff you did, the bad stuff you did. Just forget all that. Only God knows anyway. Forget all that. He covers all that. Now, forgetting those things that lie behind, this one thing he said, I'm going to do. I'm going to forget all those things that lie behind. I'm going to press forward to the high holy mark. I want to be like Christ in every way. Spirit, soul, body. Body, soul, spirit. I want to have a new heart. I want to have a new soul. I want to have a new body. I want to do everything just the way Jesus said. I'm going to forget all the things that lie behind. I know yesterday I said I was going to do it, but I didn't. That's okay, I forget that. Now I'm going to press forward. Jesus, let's start again. So, okay, keep your eyes on me, Jim. Okay. Can I do that? You can't. But you can. Well, how come I can't and then I can? Because you can't, but you can through me, through Christ. You can do all things through Christ. Ah, well, am I going to do it? You know, you've already done it because I'm already in heaven. Cool. So I've already done it, so I don't have to do anything? Jim, you can't do anything. Oh. Well, then I can't do anything? Right. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In me, you can do all things. So the good work that I began in you, I will surely complete. Ah, well, then that's easy. So that's who I am. Ah, I know. Now I'm a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Ah. So, really, it's going to be easy for me to be me. Because this really is me. This chair number 6 really is me. I'm dead unto sin. So reckon yourself dead unto sin. I reckon myself dead unto sin. Doesn't mean I am, but I reckon myself. No, it does mean I am. So are you or aren't you? Are you new creation? Are you happy all the time? Are you always in love? Are you always praising Him, thanking Him, adoring Him? Are you? Are you? Are you? Or are you trying to be? Because if you're trying to be, you're doing it. But if He already did it, then you just have to behold Him who already did it. Because then it's done. Then that's when He said on the cross, it's finished. That's when He said on the cross, you are complete in Him. It's all done. Wow! I just forgot who I was. I didn't know what it was like to be a son of God. To have the Lord Jesus living inside of me. Well, then I can do all things. Last verse. 4:13. I can do all things. Ha! It's exactly what I said, because I memorized that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, the word in the Greek is iskuo, and it means strong. So, I am strong enough to do all things. I am so strong because when I'm weak, He is my strength. When we are weak, He's strong. Ah, so I have the strength, the capacity, the ability to do everything He says. See, His commandments are not burdensome to me. Are they burdensome to you? Is it hard to be perfect? Is it hard to do what God wants?
Oh, yeah.
To your flesh. But what about to your spirit?
Oh, it's free.
See, spirit's free. So it's easy. So I'm going to speak out of the spirit rather than out of the flesh, because who cares about what my flesh thinks? I want to hear what my spirit thinks, because my spiritual man is who I am. My flesh man is what I'm supposed to be, but I'm not. I don't want to think about that. I want to think about things that are true, that are excellent, that are worthy. I can do all things who strengthens me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me. So you see, you already am. Say it. I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
I don't always behave like one. Because I forget. But from now on, forgetting those things that lie behind, I press forward to the high holy mark. To be exactly like the fullness of the stature of Christ. I'm chair number six. Now, not many people have seen it, but I am. They don't have to see it. It doesn't matter that it's seen. Just say it. Did you know that if you say it, you'll actually hear it? If you say it out loud, if you just think it in your mind, you won't hear anything. But just say it out loud. I'm a new creation.
I'm a new creation.
And then as you say it, you're starting to believe it. Because you won't believe it the first 50 times you say it. Yeah, that's just talk. You really are a new creation. You need to know that. And that's the way God looks at you. Stop looking at you the way you look at you. Satan looks at you. Your neighbor looks at you. Look at the way God looks at you. I would think on the things he's looking at, thinking about, saying. So he says you're a new creation. That means you're a new creation. What kind of a husband are you? The best, perfect husband. She may not know it, but you are. You might have to tell her. You might have to remind her. I am the best husband ever. Now, I want all of you to start speaking to yourself truth, which will set you free. It's part of your discipline. It's a little suffering here. Your flesh is not going to like it. I'm wonderful. Just say it. See, you are. You're full of wonder because you're full of Christ. So therefore, you can do all things. Romans. I'm not Romans, but what book am I? Philippians. They're all the same. They merge after a while. So, 4:13. Now, what Philippians is telling us, and I wish you would go home. I wish you would. Okay, go home and read this whole book. It'll bless you. It'll bless you, especially in light of what I said today. Now, what I said was not just what I was setting. I pray that it was God speaking to you. No, it was God speaking to you. Now, that'll set you free. So go home and read it. You've never been obedient before. Be obedient now. Forget those things that lie behind. Do it. Pastor Jim said, we have to do it. You know, do it in the bathroom. Do it in the car. Do it. Just do it. Why? It'll bless you. You need to know who you are. I'll never gripe again. I'll never be afraid again. I'll never tremble again. I'm a new creation. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The good work that he began, he will surely complete. These are powerful statements. They're truth, and they will set you free. I hope you're blessed today.